The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
This evening with John Barber. And that's going to be fun. Your calls will be welcome, as always, when John is here and he says, plug the number in. So we did. It's up there. I'll give it to you verbally as well, in case you're not online for some reason. Now, let's start with Dean. His website is called Left Hook by Dean Henderson. He takes a pretty good shot at the global oligarchs routinely. He's got a new book out. And there's a YouTube review of the book, which I put up today in headlines. It's also in his columnist box as well. Hello, Dean. Welcome back.
Jeff, how are you?
I don't know. I'm about the same as I was last time, I guess.
Fair to Midland?
Fair to Midland. It's, you know, we know where this whole thing's going. And it's hard to say,
too.
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
It's lovely. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we know. All right, now.
It's unfortunate some days, but we know.
It is. It's true. All right, the new book. How long did it take you and Jill to write it? Put it together.
Not very long, actually. I thought it'd take months, and we just got into it, and we just, I think we got done in a month.
That's amazing. That is really something.
You know, it's not a huge book, but 150 pages. And
well, it's intense.
I just kind of focused on it. And while we were doing it, I learned a lot because we were just learning about a lot of, especially the 5G, kind of got me up to speed on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just all just so dark and sinister. And the minions are many, and the sheeple don't see it.
They can't see it. They won't see it. They don't want to see it. They're not allowed to see it.
We don't even know why. Do we even realize why? So we can theorize, but you know, they just don't see it, and so that's what matters. And boy, it's so scary times, you know. And you got these two little camps fighting it out in the puppet show.
Yeah.
In the puppet show, like they roll a screen down over here, and we're supposed to watch that. And meanwhile, behind over here, they're rolling out the 5G. They're rolling out, you know.
That's going to be a killer.
Psychotronic warfare that they're doing on us already. And it's interesting times.
The book is called.
Go ahead. No.
The book is Illuminati Agenda 21, but the subtitle. Tell us the subtitle. The Luciferian plan to destroy creation. How's that?
You like that?
The first is the title is a jab, but that's a knockout follow up.
Well, it's the truth, man. You know, I don't know what else it is, but I think it's the truth, and it's the grim truth, but it all goes back to just these fallen angels, and it can described as mainstream science, I guess. It can be described as a lot of things, but just the arrogance of the global elites, not even of mankind, but of the global elites, but also feeding into mankind, you know, the university professors who rah-rah this stuff. And, you know, so there's, like I say, there's a lot of minions, you know, and the minions are the ones that, you know, we got to tell the truth to all these people and hold them all accountable. And I keep telling people this, like, everybody just has to be accountable, which is kind of an anarchist thing, which really I'm an anarchist, you know, kind of is what I am. And all that means is, even though it's got big scary connotations, is that you take personal responsibility for every action in your life.
No, it's enlightened anarchy.
Right, enlightened anarchy, which I have enough faith in humanity that if we got the government and the corporations and the super rich out of the way, we could handle it. You know, we could have traffic circles instead of stop signs like that. You know, I have faith in people, you know, where they don't. They think we're a bunch of dumb sheeple. And the hell of it is, now they're convincing people that it's true. And especially they're convincing each individual that he or she himself, you know, is basically an idiot. Right. And self-hatred and the self-loathing involved there. And that's really what they've mastered, I think, more than anything.
That's right. I agree.
To shut us down.
You made an interesting point. What's a stop sign? Stop sign.
Well, I mean, like, instead of having rules.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I know what a traffic circle is.
Yeah, I see you're saying rhetorically. Yeah, no, right, exactly. What is a stop sign? Yeah.
It's a stop. It's a total control. Total, immediate, absolute control.
There you go.
Total.
They go and bowing down to authority right away and having
right
an authority to bow down to. See, and that's the problem. We're all equal. That's the way I look at it. And we need to have a system that reflects that, you know. But it has to be based on everybody taking accountability. And that's the hell of it. The accountability, where is it? Where's the accountability in America? Where's the accountability?
No.
Other than from a few people who are trying to, you know, put a little stick in a dam that's just overflowing already, you know, and we do what we can. But, Jesus, where's the accountability from the minions and from the climbers and from the people chasing the almighty dollar still and just living wrong, just wrong action. And many wrong actions equals shitty government, you know. And that's what we got. I mean, almost like karma. It's like we created this mess in Washington by our actions, and yet, it's not our fault. You know, it's the system, and it's
no. I don't blame people. They really didn't have a chance.
Ultimately, right there,
no.
You go. And that's what, and you have to remind yourself that, because sometimes it's easy to do, but you also have to deconstruct the reality of it and be critical of that and be straightforward about that. And I think that's what we're not doing. We're almost like self-censoring.
Right.
Like, all of us over the years have had some form of, like, PTSD trauma from mm-hmm. Kennedy assassination, mm-hmm. from 9/11, from mm-hmm. whatever, and or just other things. And just, like, we all have it, sort of PTSD, you know, a little bit, each of
yep.
us.
Yeah, you bet.
So and to that degree, we hate ourselves, and to that degree, then we bow down to authority, and we don't question authority, and we feed into hierarchy, whether we're on top or whether we're just feeding into the energy that makes the pyramid, or whether we're, you know, down lower, but still kind of, you know. And it's just like the whole thing is messed up, man. We need a whole new system. And governments, elections, forget it. I mean, that phase of
it's so far over. Oh,
until
long.
We have a revolution of some kind in consciousness and just wake up and just say, man, we're not putting up with this. And that's going to involve people putting away their credit cards and paying with cash. And that's going to involve people not shopping as much. And that's going to involve, you know, just a lot of things.
They're taking the cash, so we're going to have to be able to pay with digital cash, I guess.
That's what they want.
The responsibility is obvious. You know, yet still, I'm going to go back to this stop sign thing. That's fascinating, because the option, and there is an option for stop signs, it's called a roundabout.
Yeah.
And they have a little traffic circle, all right? And they work. They're all over Europe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It puts people in a position of self-responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They usually will show consideration for their others. With the stop sign, what happens? A lot of people run them. They just they're rebelling. It's
anger.
Total frustration. They flip.
And like, they sense that there is this authority. See, that's the thing. Like, I think everybody's got, they sense that there is this authority. They don't like it at all. And then maybe the self-loathing comes when they have to kind of compromise and join with it somehow. You know what I mean? And it's just so sick. It's, you know, Gaddafi had it right. I mean, Gaddafi really, honestly, was probably had the best system.
He was one of the best
in the world. And I mean, he would fly people to Europe if they got sick and they didn't have the doctors in Libya to take care of it. They would just pay a round trip ticket for any Libyan to fly to the best hospitals in Europe and fly them back. You know, and it was just an anarcho-syndicalist thing where the workers not just own the factories, but they actually decided what was made at the factories. You know, like, what did the economy need? We're going to decide, not some capitalist owner, just we the people coming together as anarchists and also syndicalists, meaning that, yeah, we'll work together sometimes too, but we'd rather have a decentralized government where nobody tells us what to do. We run the factories, we run the farms. Just like it was in America in the 17, 1800s, you know, people there, every little village had a guy that could sharpen saw blades or make you know, knife blades or a guy that could, you know, hew some nice furniture. And, you know, there was all these craft industries, every village, every town. And then, well, here came, you know, industrialization and you know,
now,
all
then,
the hell, and, that, you yeah. know, free trade hell that we're living now.
Look how it, first of all, let me say that Gaddafi's achievements were so extraordinary that the Western Zionist media hid them. And we didn't know. We weren't told about them. We were not told that those people enjoyed the highest amount of their own country's natural resources of any country, probably in modern history, maybe in all his, I don't know, but it was
incredible what he did. Incredible. More than twice the per capita income of South Africa, the second wealthiest African country. And people were averaging like $40,000 a year salaries.
Right.
And they got free houses, and they got free food, and they got free education, and they weren't zombie communists, whatever, slaves. They were free. They were like, no, man, we don't have to. And Gaddafi really did just go out in the desert and live in a tent. And he really didn't have control even of the economy. He didn't want it. He was just like, I'm out of here. I'm going to the beach, man. Hang out. I'm a tent. You know, just not a power-hungry guy at all. And yet, somehow, you know, the Western media is able to pull down the screen again and put this projector on it and tell us that he's this.
They're this.
Just like Russiagate. Well, no, it's not. It's, well, we've interfered in hundreds of elections since, last year, you know, and then we're saying the Russians are doing it. It's projection. It's like the
reverse projection.
Projecting onto the other country and saying, you did it, you know, like in the second grade schoolyard.
It's all reverse projection. We blame on everyone else.
Reverse projection, yeah, a lot of it is. Like, just read the news backwards and you'll be fine. Just do a 180, flip it on its head, and you got the truth. You know, so if they're saying one thing, it's usually just exactly the opposite on mainstream media.
That's right.
Really, it's amazingly true.
Before people say, well, yeah, that crazy Jeff, he wants to remove all stop signs. No, I understand we have to have traffic control. I understand that. I'm just suggesting as a metaphor, it's an interesting metaphor. Stop. You stop or else. There's a lot of ors in there. But there are other ways. You can route people through a roundabout, traffic circle.
They showed in the Netherlands, Jeff, where they actually did this, and the traffic incidents, too, the wrecks just plummeted. I mean, there were none.
I'm glad you saw that. I didn't see it.
I think they might have took out all the stop signs in the Netherlands now. I think they're gone. I really do. I might be wrong. Somebody can call in and correct
me. You empower the people properly, and they'll rise up and meet
the
challenge.
But they have to be empowered and trusted. See, it's just like our kids. Like, how do we expect these kids to grow up anywhere different when we put them in these high schools that look like prisons and have metal detectors and cops everywhere? And cops all around the perimeter.
No,
I went to the high school for tennis the other morning, and there was just people watching us like we were like some kind of bombers or something. We're just out there playing tennis, you know? And it's just like feels like a military barracks. So, you know, again, you're not trusting the kids, man. You're assuming that they're criminals. You're assuming that, well, what's that do to a kid's psyche right off the bat? And you treat them to the police state version of reality, and it's not even reality. It's that's flattering, too flattering. It's not reality. It's unreality. It's a big freaking lie.
Right.
And based on social Darwinistic Royal Geographic Society fabrication of world history, which is City of London, you know, that's who's doing
fabrication
this,
of world history.
Freaks,
we don't even know our real history.
We know the
general outline of it, but believe me, the texture of it, the minutia, even the major developments have all been spun. All of them, their lies.
History is written by the elite. You know, history is written by the victors, or what so-called victors.
So cool.
And, so there's all the books are, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, and it's just all, well, here's a little more minutia about a lie, you know, and so it's almost like don't even read books unless you can find some really good ones nowadays, like Mark Twain or something like that.
Well, that's not a joke.
But they banned, see, they wouldn't even allow, I don't even think, you know, we visited Mark Twain's hometown a couple weeks ago up there in Hannibal, Missouri, finally got up there. Pretty cool place right on the Mississippi, and he's my favorite writer of all time, but I really don't know if he would, like, would he be banned now? Would he even be, he wouldn't even get himself published.
Probably
but
not.
He was such a scathing social critic. I mean, he makes you and I, as far as cynical, he makes you and I let's just look like happy little kindergartners, you know?
Yeah, he shredded
just,
things.
Like, ripped
people
and shreds,
don't know that.
You know, I just like, I love the way he does that. And
yeah.
His best is the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. And that's all about the U.S. Relationship to Britain and the crown. And he just shreds the crown. I mean, through that whole book, it talks about, you know, the peasant had to give half his crop to the crown and half to the church. And, hey, man, that's why we came here, you know, to get away from this crap, mm-hmm. this medieval bloodline elite crap. And look what we've done here. It's just, you know.
Well, as you said, look what we're putting, look how we're doing the schools. All right, education. We're putting our children in... You could call them prisons, but not hardcore prisons. They're soft core.
Load them up with Wi-Fi, you know, just baking their little brains.
They're literally being physically damaged, emotionally, psychologically, intellectually, corrupted, damaged. They're stillborn. They will not become proactive in life. They go through life reactive. They drool. They respond. This is the game. It's workforce training, but there's no workforce anymore.
Oh my God, it's horrible. Yeah, and the Rockefeller Education Fund sits there, 1916, the same. Well, 2 years after, 3 years after the Federal Reserve was created, and then the next year, the Rockefeller Foundation starts up. And
was that 1914?
I think it was actually 13, the Federal Reserve. No, actually, you know what? I think Rockefeller Foundation, same year. And then in 16, it was the General Education Board sprung off from that. And they talk in this thing how they were going to basically teach people to be like sixth graders with all their foundation stuff. And something about, you know, they needed more rural folk and they didn't need any of the educated classes because we have plenty of them. And everybody's got to read this. It's called Occasional Letter One by the Rockefeller General Education Board, 1916, maybe. And that's pretty much what they do to kids in school. Now, of course, if you have a small town and some cool teachers and a tight-knit community and a good family, and if you live like that, but increasingly you don't urbanize, these kids don't even know their teachers on a social basis. You know, like our teachers were our catechism teachers, were our football coaches, were our whatever, because I might graduate like, 39 in my class, you know. But it ain't like that no more. It's increasingly urbanized. So, yeah, people don't even know. Mm-hmm. And so that, and then it's just, I don't know. The whole way we're living is wrong, Jeff. It's just wrong. We got to empty out these cities. We got to somehow do land reform.
Well, was it 125 years ago?
That's an actual leftist idea, land reform, not orange-haired people scouting it.
125 years ago, 90% of Americans lived on farms and in rural environments. 5 to 10% were in cities. Now it's the opposite. 5% on the farms and rural, and these are big agri, huge operations.
Yeah, it's not family farms anymore. So.
No.
Yeah, and my mom says, like in our town where it used to be pretty equal, now there's like a few rich and a lot of poor in this little town, South Dakota, you know. And it's like that everywhere.
Even
and,
in your town.
Even in my town, I don't even hardly go there much anymore, but it's like 700, 800 people. But yeah, she said it's even gotten like that there. And, you know, it's a social, when they did the 80s agriculture thing, I mean, it tore up not just the ground and poisoned it with, you know, Roundup. Same people that made Agent Orange, same people just returned to the Nazi fold under Bayer Corporation, which was part of the E.A. Farben thing, you know, with Hoaxed and BASF and Bayer. That's who E.A. Farben was. And
well, you
so
know,
back to
Bayer
Nazi
just bought Monsanto.
And, yeah, they just bought them back, and but it's perfect because that's where they came from. The 1950s, the Swiss laboratories, there's all these German Nazis that escaped scientists to Switzerland, where they also took a lot of the Nazi gold, and they basically Monsanto learned all this stuff about, you know, glyphosate from this stuff. And here's a good one: glyphosate mimics glycine, you know, which is an amino acid. And so your body, it's just like with the Wi-Fi, I was telling you, like the uptake of the water molecule is 2.4 gigahertz. So is the Wi-Fi in your house.
They're right on the same. They know.
Right on the number. And then glycine, okay, so glycophosphate mimics it. So your body's uptaking it, thinking, oh, this is good. I need this. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoops. And then your immune system gets taxed like crazy. And then eventually you just shut down and you have some kind of gut issue. Why are we hearing about all these gut issues, see? Why are we hearing about probiotics? We never used to need things like called probiotics. Why is it all these people with the gluten deficient, can't eat gluten food or something? We've been eating wheat for thousands of years, man. I mean, Mesopotamia, the cradle of agriculture, they didn't grow corn, soybeans. They grew wheat, man. That's wheat country. And
you know what the gluten intolerance is, don't you? It's the glyphosate.
Exactly.
It's the poison. In the wheat. But no one will ever go near that.
Exactly. And nobody knew that. And yet, bigger than that, what it did to these Midwest towns is it just tore up the social fabric, see?
It sure.
Brought in the hog confinements and ran out the feeder pig producers and the butcher pig guys, and brought in the chicken confinements, and they brought in all that stuff. And they just, and then the few rich farmers own every county, man. Just you wouldn't believe the, this guy in my county, one family, man, just... They own a lot, and so it's bad. It's just—it's a reflection of the bigger, 1% thing. But it's more like 0.00001%, as we know. In the end, but they're all kind of minions, and these people, they need a wake-up call, and that's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of minions that are just about as evil as the global elite, who play in the game, cling to the ladder, help enable. It's like enabling a psychopath, man. Not cool.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has to step up, and that's the whole energy.
Oh, well, no, we have no means.
That, right?
We have no means to really communicate with everybody anymore.
No, we don't communicate with anybody. We're connected with everyone, but we're connected with no one.
That's right.
We'd
have to have equal access to the mainstream media to be able to get our message out there, and they're never going to give that to anyone. No chance.
Yeah.
By the way, here's just a little bit of review for Dean and Jill's new book. Hold on, let me play this. What is this? Who is this guy? He's Danish. Who is he?
Yeah, it's just this guy named Julius, and I don't know, somehow he got a hold of my book, and I guess he does these video book review things, and I'm like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, here's a little, little taste of it.
Nice of him, yeah, and he said there's some good information aside from the book thing of ours. I mean, he's talking about some good stuff in there, too, so people should just watch out for that, too.
Actually, we got a break coming up, so I'll wait on the other side. We'll play a little of that. I'm surprised to hear, though, in microcosm, that your little town has that same. It's got that same 1%.
Isn't that weird? I know.
Isn't
that's
that
when it really hits home? Yep. And I think things like are froze up now, kind of. Like I noticed some. I don't know. I went to there's one. Well, a dentist, man. I went to a dentist. And the three times that I canceled, I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then I did it, and the price went down every time. And I went to this yard store the other day, and lawnmowers that were like 150 were like 100 all of a sudden. And I mean, things are just kind of
okay. I know this is interesting.
Record, but
this is interesting because I've had a feeling for months now that the economy is so bad. Nobody's really able to buy things. Prices are plummeting on things that ought to be double what they're getting because no one's got the money. Talk about a buyer's market. You can just write your own ticket.
Housing, but we'll see.
Everything but housing so far. That's coming. It's crazy right now in California. They keeps going up. All right, hold on a minute. We'll come right back with Dean. The Luciferian plan to destroy creation. The subtitle of Dean and Jill's new book. Title is Illuminati Agenda 21. Here's a little excerpt from a very nice review done by a Danish gentleman who obviously is very well informed, and it took a lot to get his interest, but this book sure did. Here we go.
6.5 years from now. Interesting or scary. Strip us of our humanity. Well, we have been stripped so much of our humanity already. It has gone very, very fast since 2010. Many, many things have changed so devastatingly since 2010, and people have become really strange after the 4G Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi has so chaotic frequency patterns that actually messes with our mind so much. It's part of the overall mind control agenda. It's part of the overall attack, onslaught on the human race, you can say. The book Illuminati Agenda 21 is a marvelous book, and it holds great things. And there are, it's the good thing about it is all the chapters are very short. You get insight into what is really going on, and then you have 3, 4, 5, 6 pages per chapter, and then it's easy to read a chapter and then say, okay, now I'll go next with the next chapter in a moment, or tonight or tomorrow, and so on. It's easy to get through this book, and it's written in a very good language, so it's excellent book reading. It has 21 chapters, of course, because it's called Illuminati Agenda 21. So it's quite amazing, actually. I like numbers. I like things when things are in order, when there's a pattern and so on. Chapter 1, Leaving the Garden of Eden. Chapter 2, The Luciferian Perpetrators.
Part 2.
Yeah, that's chapter... That was actually part 1. Then chapter 2 is called The Rothschild Illuminati. Chapter 3 is called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Chapter 4...
Okay, let me stop in there. You get the idea. He really liked the book. Now, the portion about the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, that's must reading for everybody. How did you handle that? In such short fashion. Yeah.
Yeah, I took what I thought were the best... Because it's kind of in these little sections, you know, personal document. And so I just took what I thought were the real zingers, you know, and kind of, you know, I do a little narrative ahead of the quote and just, you know, kind of, yeah, try to intro into it, you know, but let them really speak for themselves. I mean, they're shocking. And then I really go at the beginning and I talk about the credibility of them, because the credibility, of course, they're always attacking it. It's a fraud, but right. There's so much evidence that it's not at all a fraud, and as many people had it, and it was real. So, and it's definitely connected to the Priory of Sion and the Illuminati and the Knights Templar.
Hey, if it's a fraud, it's the greatest coincidence in recorded history.
It's a coincidence, yeah. Yeah, I mean, in one sense, like, it's true. And so, even if it's a fraud, at least it's like good historical fiction, you know, that actually is a fact. And that's right. Really what they think of us, the Goyim. We're just Goyim. And that's why they're able to just, you know, depopulate. I mean, what kind of sick minds can just go on a depopulation frenzy, you know, which is what we're undergoing. And generations are going to live, you know, less years.
When you go out as a people, a country, a nation, like Israel is, and well, look at the law they just passed recently, the most overtly racist law in modern history. And they go out, I don't know if they're still doing what they were, going out on the weekends, literally taking the family, picnics, sitting up on the bluff above Gaza and all of these, the biggest open-air prison in the world, and watching the carnage. Watching the tanks fire and the artillery fire and the jets bomb.
Having a good laugh.
Those are not American values. That's not normal values. No.
It's not normal at all. It's not natural. There's nothing natural about it or anything.
No.
Anyway, redeeming about it. And, you know, yeah, sure, that's where a lot of this high tech's coming from, you know, too. And
you bet it is. You know it. You know. And somebody listening knows it.
They're always the city of London's contractor.
Look what they've done with the Intel chip. They put a back door and another processor in the Intel chips. And they're into every Intel chip everything. They want to be in. Every device that has an Intel chip is...
Of course, they own Facebook. My wife and I got off Facebook within the last couple of weeks, just completely. I was using it, you know, just to get my stuff out there. And I think I used it like a rag appropriately and then threw it away in the rubbish bin where it belongs. So, but it's nice to be off of that. I know you got off of that a while back.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all just, you know, intelligence gathering, mind control. You're entering the enemy territory, and I feel like I kind of kicked him in the you know what a few times and won in my little. But you know, most people are just not even aware what's going on.
How could Dean? You know, the good thing you did was make the book into these essentially short little snippets of deadly important information.
Because
we got attention span problems to deal with, right? So there you go.
Like 5 pages and they're done. So
that's right.
That, you know, that's about what it is, and it's an easy read that way. And it's kind of divided into the perpetrators part one, and then the Luciferian agenda part two, and it, you know, the agendas including, you know, the medical death industry is one chapter, I think. You know, toxic food for the people about the glyphosates, and then.
GMOs. We don't know what we're eating with GMOs. We know the theory, what they tell us, but what are they really doing with GMOs?
Right.
We suspect, and I think you agree, that GMO food can actually modify and change our internal DNA.
Yes, I agree. It does, and that's the thing. It apparently concentrates the further up the chain you go. So, like the cow that eats the GMO corn. Concentrates these fake amino acid proteins even more, and then we eat the meat, and then we concentrate even more in our bodies.
It's like radiation. It's exactly like radiation.
Yeah, and you notice the countries that don't allow it are like 28 European countries and a handful of rogue. You know, like I think Ecuador is one, Belize, good for them. But you know, it tends to be all the where the old money's at that doesn't allow it. And then the same with the cell phones. You know, like Norway and a lot of these countries have real strict regulations on. You know, you can't put cell towers, at least by a school, you know, and a lot of these, and different things. And what do we have? Nothing. Because we're the plantation, see? We're just the plantation, and we're just to be used up, pretty much. Mercenary army that can take the black eye while the bankers in London sit back and smoke cigars and, you know, do their pedophilia at 3 p.m. Well, I don't know what these sick people do. They're just sick, these people. And, you know, it's a plantation, so there really is an attack by the city of London on America. Crown Castle puts up all these cell towers for Verizon, AT&T, whoever. Crown Castle, it's called, right?
300,000 more towers going up with 5G. 300,000 more added to the country.
I'm pretty sure they're like Serco. They're like a contractor, Crown agent. And I know GE is a Crown agent. They're a subsidiary of Crown Agency Corporation. They're the ones with the smart meters. They're the ones that bring in the blue light, into our houses with the fluorescence. You know, they don't think about who makes the light bulbs, dude. Think about who makes the smart meters, General Electric, and, you know, the Crown agent. So I literally, Jeff, I'm pretty sure that there's this attack on America by the City of London bankers right now. And why? Because Jeff Renz is putting out a radio station, because Dean Henderson's writing a blog, because, you know, I'll tell you what, the Americans, in some sense, have led the truth movement, I think. I mean, you just have to look at the kind of data, and there it is. And so they hate us. They want to take us down now, because they're nervous. They're real nervous. We might not think they are. We might think, you know, they think it's a cakewalk, but I don't think that's really the case. I think they're nervous. I think they want to attack us, dumb us down, debilitate us, definitely take the male testosterone out, definitely take, you know, they don't want a bunch of 18-year-old kids sitting around. There's no jobs. It's a bunch of robots. These kids are just sitting in the park, and that's when trouble starts.
Nothing.
That's when trouble starts, you know. And so, you know, take out the young males, you know, really. The black ones, even more so. That's why the vaccines are, you know, they've been proven to affect black males the most, and then white males the second most.
That's
and
right.
All these are healthy species, not sick kids, but design these vaccines to affect the healthy kids the most. That's the healthy kids have the biggest problem with autism, with all this stuff that comes out. But 1 in 50 kids is going to have autism in, what, 5 years?
I think it's even more than that.
Wasn't even a problem 10 years ago, or 15, or, you know, whatever it was.
It's like Alzheimer's. 30 years ago, there was no Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
Dementia, nah.
Dementia, none of that. Yeah, exactly. So, it's, yeah. All
these new pandemics.
These emerging, you know.
Right.
Wow.
These pandemics are all planned, or whatever you want to call them. Epidemics,
planned.
Yeah. And look at the weather. Come on, there's nothing they're not screwing around with. They're just the weather. I think the weather is so screwed up now because they've lost control of it. They've been playing too many games.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it may be out of control now.
I think you're right. I think they thought they had it, and then they kind of, whoops. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's out of control. And
it's just a guess, but it could be.
They're not that smart. They just hired, you know, the scientists. But even the scientists, they're really, like, left brain analytical. They don't have any balance. They don't have any really, and that's where wisdom comes in, man, where you can have the balance and have the heart chakra and, you know, the empathy and all that stuff. And that's true wisdom, you know, there's intellect and then there's wisdom, you know, and they don't have that. A lot of them are just cheerleaders for the City of London, and they're blind to it. They're minions, these professors, these
you know what you know,
yes men, these jumping jack journalists.
I don't know if you put anything in your book, but what's going on with nanotechnology really concerns me. It's not talked about. I can't get an expert anymore. I used to have one. It is the cutting edge that most everything is predicated on at some point. Nanotech. Think Morgellons fibers. Think these Morgellons devices that they're finding in people.
The chemtrails are related to the 5G in the sense that they're ionizing the atmosphere, in the sense that heavy metals in our bodies make us more conductive, more traceable, more...
Oh, they're making the entire atmosphere a conductor. That's right.
And then there's the possibility these are computer chips coming out, and they're actually plugging in a third strand of DNA into our bodies, which will literally make us not quite human anymore. Because they're all obsessed with GMOs. They're all obsessed with genetics, right? And they want to do the same thing with humans now. And they're already doing it.
It could be that.
What's a Morgellon? It's like computer chips dropped from there. And some people, Max Egan the other day, had a good analysis, and he was saying how it might even plug in. Like one part will come down, and then another part will come into you, and they'll plug in.
It's a binary. Absolutely.
It's a binary. That's it. Yeah, crazy, right? But
yeah.
These people are nuts, man. They are.
Yeah.
They're just.
Well, they get hold of science and. If we look at history, whatever it is that human beings have been able to figure out how to do, whether or not it would kill us all doesn't matter. They've still done it. Splitting the atom, for example.
Yeah,
biggest single mistake, error. Yeah. They blew it. They just blew it.
It shows who they are, because there are these dumb scientists who believe in this objective reality that doesn't exist. Everything's subjective. Everything happens once. Even the energy of a researcher will affect the outcome to where another researcher could do the same experiment, and now they've proven that it matters, like the person's mood that's doing the experiment. Everything's subjective. You can't take a monkey out of the Congo and put him in a lab in New York and do studies on him, expect him to even act like a monkey in the jungle in Congo with no human there to scare the hell out of him. I mean, you know, it's all phony, fraudulent science. You can't even,
yeah, and if you talk
really
to him,
call it science because it's too complimentary.
No, they think they've got all the answers. They're the most arrogant, elitist bunch. There are some exceptions, of course.
Yeah, with some exceptions. But you'll find out when you dig deeper, it's all but justify sort of this colonial exploitative history that we, you know, and really it's like they have to justify it with the whole survival of the
fittest. Well, that's the national.
Oh, we just went to war because, you know, that's just nature and we had to do it or they would have got us. And it's just kind of inbred thinking about, like, again, reactive. You know, you always talk about reactive, and I agree. It's really important that people be proactive and not react. But that whole thing where, you know, that was the national security paradigm. Well, if we don't get the bomb, they'll get it first. And that's all these real.
That was all a lie, because we were actually sharing the technology. There were no secrets.
True.
There are no secrets now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And the same now with the Russia fear-mongering. Oh, now I heard Iran.
I don't even know how that can get me.
I'm like, what? Iran interfered with our election? If we're that pathetic that we're going to let some third
I don't know how that can gain any traction. It's so stupid.
I don't even. Yeah, but it will probably. It'll probably.
And the media does. They just repeat it over and over. But it's
sure
when you think about it on its face, it's stupid. It's so dumb.
I know. There's a lot of that, though. Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of dumb stuff. Like, they found Muhammad Atta's passport at the base of that tower that came down in crumbs, you know. And we got all this evidence on our side of every, I mean, just tons of evidence. They have none. And then the building goes down on Fox News after she announces that it just went down.
Yeah.
I mean, how much crazier does it get than that? And yet people just block it out, right? They're just like, oh, I don't want to go there. You know, because that's what's scary. Like, the truth is what's being thrown under the bus.
You know, I feel so sorry for the people in New York. Remember that, I've forgotten her name now. It actually should live in infamy. The EPA director, that woman who stood in New York a couple of days after 9/11 and made the pronouncement that there's nothing to worry about, that the air quality was just fine. We've tested it, measured it. How many people have died since then? I think it's over 100,000. Some horrible number, and they've died horrible deaths. Now, she lied, and she quit, by the way, shortly thereafter and got the hell out of Dodge.
St. Lucia.
Give her a little parachute and she rolled.
It's pathetic, I know. And then, of course, we're just going to call off the search once they got the Bank of Nova Scotia gold out of there, you know, found and everything and shipped out of there. And got their drug debt settled and all that good stuff. So World Trade Mart, yeah, it's always been a British intelligence, Mossad front.
And look at the big, main event. Look at the soap opera. World look at the sideshow that we're being fed all the time. This Cohen, Mueller, Trump, investigation, and you mentioned it already, the Russia-phobia stuff. It's just all diversionary stuff. It's crap. It is, right? It's total crap.
I'm going to start rating the puppets now, like give them a 3 or 4, you know,
good.
That day.
Yeah, good.
Treat it like that, like it's the joke that it is. You know, it's just nonsense. It is. It's like, I think I sent you an article this week. It's called Facebook, the New Tower of Babel, but it could also be just...
I ran it yesterday.
I mean, it's like, not just Facebook. It's just like all the media is the Tower of Babel. It's just some nonsense. This is nonsense from every direction. And just more nonsense and reaction, to nonsense. Because they don't have the initiative to actually go find some real news. Like, I don't know, the election in Zimbabwe is pretty interesting right now, you know. And I bet nobody's heard anything about it. But it's tight, and they're contesting it. And, it looks like the ZANU-PF held on. And the British bankers were held at bay one more time. But they'll probably create some riots tomorrow.
They'll do whatever they need to do. Nothing to stop them, really. Nothing.
Yeah, we'll see. I tell you what, it's going to take a Hail Mary, dude. But I don't know. Yeah, I tell you, it's just, but I do think we're talking about the economy, and I'm seeing that, and it's interesting that you're seeing that, too, that it's just slipping kind of below the, Wall Street's at an all-time high. Well, of course it is. I mean, when wealth concentrates.
I see these stories about how the economy is recovering and stronger and ever and doing better and more people are going to be. It's a total lie.
It's a joke, man, because it's minimum wage jobs and people can't even, and you know how it is, the bills, especially like insurance and stuff like that, man, it's just going to the roof.
How many Americans have been put in lifetime indentured servitude now in slavery with student loans?
Thirty million
Americans have student loans, and 95% of them will never pay off. They'll never be able to clear their debts.
Right.
Their lives are hell. You read some of those accounts or look at some of the YouTube videos. Their daily lives are living hell. They work two and three jobs to try and pay back these compound interest debt, these student loans. And we've just destroyed what we had as a, our young people, our future, our educated young people. We've destroyed them. 30 million of them are in debt. Yeah.
All because of some greedy minions at colleges that just keep jacking.
Well, I said that Trump, what Trump should do is, I don't know if he could do it, but, that whole debt of $1.4 trillion needs to be forgiven immediately.
Yeah, just charge it to the Rothschilds bond.
That's right. And we're going to invest in our people and our country, and that's no more debt.
While you're at it, cancel the $20 trillion that you owe the Rothschilds, too, and throw them in jail because it's just, I did a Federal Reserve cartel talk up in Fairfield, Iowa. That was kind of cool. It's like that Maharishi University up there. And so like a third of the town does transcendental meditation. It was a good vibe. A lot of people on bikes and just being nice. And
wait, where is this?
Jeff, those are the people that are going to get what's going on. Up in Fairfield, Iowa.
It's still going, huh? I heard about it.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was still going.
It is kind of famous, right? I'd heard of it, too. And just some gal that really likes my writing and whatever, set it up and put some flyers up. And, man, it was a good crowd. And it was kind of a unity
thing.
Oh,
good for you.
Former Bernie people, with some Trump's the savior people. And, it's like, okay, let's get some unity going on this one issue because it's something everybody can agree on, man. And we're the two right and left. And see, what part of what they're doing with Jones and stuff is they're trying to discredit the left, like the real left, like me, with these idiot orange hair protesters that Soros is funding. And then that's how they're trying to discredit. I think they're going to end up discrediting the alt-right because Jones and so many guys went with Trump and QAnon is going to come through and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're going to pull the rug out and they're going to they're trying to discredit both of us. See what I'm saying?
Of course.
And that's what people aren't seeing, And then you hear a lot of loose talk among a lot of people about the left, like Jones. And it's like, wait a minute, Alex, man, I don't diss you for stuff. So, hey, we can get along. We're friends, man. We need to agree to disagree on the ideology or shit. And, it is that. And so what? It's just like it's more about just doing the right thing right now. So anyway, but they're doing it and they're dividing us. And, like Max Egan was saying, there's more and more stuff, blogs about somebody's a troll and somebody in the
community. There's so much noise, so much chaos.
So much noise.
It is impossible to pull for the average person, even if they wanted to, to begin to get a handle on it. I don't blame them.
That's why this Fairfield thing was interesting, because transcendental meditation, these are the people who are trying to empty out their minds, right?
No, that's very interesting. I didn't know.
And they're the ones that are getting it. Like, even the church I gave it, at a church, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And then inside they had this, these little handouts about the dangers of smart meters, man. And they really, the whole time, be really against this crap. And I think these are the people, like the East Indian, you know, the people that did the meditation, or doing them. You have to make, because that's what they're doing. They're just bombarding us with useless information. And people's left brain is just swollen up, and it's frustrated, and their right brain empty is shut down.
Well, I'm with you. I'm really worried about.
Oh, yeah.
I think 5G is going to be maybe the final chapter. That may
maybe,
do it.
Yeah, that's one of the chapters in my book. It's called the 5G Endgame. And
there you go.
Yeah, at the very end of the book. So, you know, yeah, but I put it like this. It's like the best times and the worst times, because the people that are waking up, man, I really, hats off to everybody who's aware, like Jeff Renz, for example. And, man, he's the guy that first saw my columns and stuff and gave me a little bit of exposure that I needed. And that was really brave, man, because, you know, I know a lot of your readers are kind of right-wingers, and my thing's called Left Hook, but, you know, a lot of your readers are my subscribers now.
You bet. No. Common sense and wisdom comes in all colors. Doesn't matter.
Common sense is right.
Yeah.
None of it.
Nope.
So we just, you know, battle on, but, you know, we just got to keep doing what we do, and you never know. I think, you just got to fight the good fight. Win, lose, draw. That's what I always, you know, grew up with, those kind of values. And you're going to be increasingly isolated, lonely, targeted, all that stuff, but, you know, so what?
So what?
Have fun. Surf
so what?
Apocalypse.
You got, if you, as long as you have yourself, you're
right.
Never alone.
Your authenticity, your own self. No, yeah, exactly right. That's right. As long as you got yourself, and don't ever lose that, because that's what they really want. And,
that's right. That's right. Hey, listen, Dean, that went fast. You take care of yourself. My best to Jill, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thanks a lot, Jeff, for having me in.
Okay, brother. You too.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Dean Henderson, the one and only. Back with more in a few. Hang on.